Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing this episode with a friend, and thank you for joining us once again for these crazy adventures that we're having in this season. Legacy of Ghosts.
Craze Ventures, we call it.
Craze Ventures. That's what we should have named our group. Craze Ventures Incorporated.
No, that's a terrible name.
Oh, okay. Rodrigo, what do you got in store for us this week?
Well, let's see. So, last time...
On Critical Hit. We're getting
No, we're not. There was that magic moment, and now it's gone.
It's like when two different cars' windshield wipers are going, they'll eventually line up.
And that's
then
right.
For just one, like, one wipe or two, and then they'll go out of sync again.
Or blinkers. Yeah,
like three episodes ago was that moment, and now never again.
It's like when you're listening to the Wu-Tang, and your blinkers fit perfectly to the music.
That's exactly right. So what did happen last time on Critical Hit?
We got Sakaar's backstory.
Or part of it, at least.
We met some folks, and they were some people and some things, and we got a shortcut so we didn't have to ride an eagle for 5 days.
Always good. Pretty much.
I thought so.
Come on. And then, you know, you guys can't roll that ritual. It would have been at least 10 days.
Good point. Fair enough.
Yeah. If we roll any worse, next time we're going to be riding baby finches.
Yeah.
I believe we used the, wasn't it the Helm of Don Estes to teleport ourselves back into
something
into a warehouse somewhere.
It seems like a warehouse somewhere. Dun, dun, dun.
Should be in Coldport. That's what we signed on for, but I suppose it doesn't have to be that.
You may be new here. What we intend to do and what we actually do means we're probably inside the corpse of a dragon.
That would be very awkward.
A zombie dragon.
Yes. Especially a big awkward. Zombie dragon with a warehouse inside its belly.
Exactly. Under the water.
Also that.
Because it can't be easy.
So, yeah, now that you guys are expecting the worst, you guys are in a warehouse. No immediate aquatic zombie dragon entrails in sight.
Just a demo.
Yay! Things are looking up.
Which means they're invisible. No.
The bad things are invisible.
Okay, I'm serious too.
So, what do you guys do?
I suppose we should look around, see if we can find our...
See if we can figure out where we're at.
How well lit are we?
There are... you are not... there's no windows. And there's no lit lamps or anything in here. But it appears to be either... evening or like late afternoon or maybe later, and there's some incandescent light outside of some kind that kind of shines through some floorboards and walls.
Okay. Can we tell what's being stored in this warehouse?
From what you can tell, it is leather. There's just boxes and boxes and boxes of a big kind of mostly rectangular chunk of hide with some other papery type substance on top of it, then another piece of hide, and so on and so forth. And there's these big, probably, I don't know, almost person-sized crates of it.
The crates labeled at all?
No, they do not appear to be. This seems to be storage rather than shipping. Further, as you know, further evidenced by the fact that you guys don't really have to open any of the crates. There's some that are just open, like somebody comes in here and maybe grabs some every once in a while.
Hmm. Any obvious exits?
Yeah, there's some stairs or a ladder, maybe. It's like a ladder, but it's like propped, and then there's some stairs. Not a very safe arrangement, but then again, it is an exit up. Then there's like a little cellar door that it leads to.
There is no ocean in this world.
There is not. Well, there might be, but there's certainly no ocean in Coldport.
No ocean in this room. All right. Good to know.
Well, I guess we go up. Ket, why don't you lead the way? Since this supposedly is your area.
Sure.
I'm not sure supposedly is the appropriate word there.
Head up the ladder.
Okay. You head up the ladder, open the little cellar door, and you find yourself in more warehouse.
Listen, look, anybody around?
Yeah, there's some people over there, off over there, moving some crates around, and they're talking loudly. They don't seem to have noticed you.
All right. There's some people up over this way, but it looks like it's just more warehouse. Do I see anything that might indicate whose warehouse?
Not really, other than, well, I guess you can give me a history check. Since we're here.
What is my history? My history is okay.
This warehouse belongs to Jennifer Leather.
Yes.
My roll is crap. 17 total.
Well, no, you have no idea. Not necessarily. I mean, there's nothing that's like, oh, this is some group that I'm not familiar with. They're actually just kind of, you know, from the brief glimpses that you caught on them, you couldn't see anything other than, you know, just kind of the clothes they were wearing, which are pretty common around town.
So basically enough information to say that we are probably in Coldport.
Probably.
All right.
I will give you that. They do look like Coldport fashions.
Okay. Head on out and gesture for the rest to follow.
We're all right.
We follow.
Follow.
Okay. You guys find yourself in a warehouse, and pretty soon somebody comes around a box and goes, "What are you guys doing here? Is this a stick up?"
No.
And then like takes out like a little knife and like hides behind a crate and kind of like swings the knife at you guys from way over there behind the crate.
Oh, we kind of wandered in here by accident.
This is like a 40-year-old guy.
All right. Look, if you tell us how to get out of here, you won't get hurt.
Oh, okay. There's a door over there. And he points out a door.
Thank you. Head the direction he pointed to.
Okay. You find a door.
Open it.
Okay. You find yourselves in Coldport.
Yay, it's not an undead dragon.
Yet.
At the bottom of the sea.
Pretty handy helmet.
Yeah. So, Ket, can you tell what part of Coldport we're in? Obviously, it's not the locked-off area.
Yes, you are not in the Plague District.
Sounds
the twins.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see any district sigils?
No, but you recognize this area. You actually recognize it really well. There's a single hut.
Oh, it looks like we're in single hut. It's a couple districts away from twins.
Okay. Should we be worried about walking around in the open?
Probably not. Sakaar, do you have a cloak?
Actually, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't believe I do.
Well, I'm sure you have a cloak. You don't necessarily wear a cloak because of your whatever next slot item you have, but I'm sure you have one in your inventory.
Let me check. I have tea, no tea. Oh, there it is, a cloak.
All right. Go ahead and put that on since you were the only one recognized last time.
You could potentially wear the hat.
Could, but I might need that to get us through some places.
And honestly, the hatchet game really is more nuisance than threat.
Yeah. We can deal with them if they recognize him, but I'm pretty certain the cloak should be enough to allow us to blend in with the rest of the city.
Well, you'd think.
His ears tucked up under his hat that he wore last time we were here.
You'd think, but as Sakaar unfurls his cloak and puts it on, you see that it has an immaculately stitched symbol of House Oblia
on subtle type.
Basically on the cape part. And it is subtle because we'll say the cloak is gray and the stitching is dark gray, which just gives it that kind of like nice watermark look. It's very pretty and probably not discernible at a distance. But if anybody gets close enough, they'll be like, hey, that guy's wearing a cloak that has a big symbol with a sleeping dragon on it.
Think you could turn that inside out?
You can. The stitching is visible from both sides.
Well, that's useful.
Maybe if you put his, just put a hat on like I have.
Yes, but your noticeable features are mostly the fact that you're Eldrin.
Yes, I know. I put a pair of sunglasses on.
Anybody else hearing the theme to CSI right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, the best part is that it actually just straight up works.
Well, the hat and the,
hat and the glasses. Just random schmuck.
Yep.
Yes.
That's Orym. Random Dorn.
Definitely. Orym went from looking like a magical Eladrin to a guy wearing fancy robes that is clearly a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
If you look closely at the stitching on my back, it says Rob.
He cleverly disguised himself as a mark, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We just need to get him a really big camera.
Mm-hmm. Call him Dewflower.
I'll pull out the hat of disguise and hand it over to Sakaar.
I honestly don't think that this is necessary.
Okay.
A little caution doesn't hurt.
Fine.
But the hat on.
I'd rather not get a face full of hatchets again.
I'm going to put on a hat.
Okay. Well, it doesn't take you very long to figure out how it works, so what would you like to look like?
I'm going to be something that fits in with this group. So,
an
I don't know.
An elephant with a hat and a pair of glasses?
Yes,
awesome.
Yes,
a pair balancing on a ball playing an accordion.
A kind of mutant fish bird thing. No.
Magical robot bird.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Nondescript lady person.
Okay.
That's who I shall be.
Okay. Sakaar turns into basically a barmaid.
Well, that'll work. Let me get my bearings. And step out of the... Like, did we exit out onto a street, an alley?
It was a street, but it's not very crowded. Mm-hmm. So, and the warehouse basically has an awning right in front of it, like a big wooden, like, downsloping thing. So you guys weren't really in the public while you had this discussion about who a hat goes on.
Yeah. A little sparkle. You might want to keep your head down. You stand out a little more than the rest of us as well.
Yep. I can just try to stay hidden.
Perhaps we could both wear the hat at once.
I'll just not be seen. You can keep it.
Disguise ourselves as a two-headed org.
I think that would stand out more.
Yes, but in a positive manner. step out into the more crowded street and get my bearings. It's like, all right, this way.
Follow Ket.
All right.
Hide okay. And follow Ket.
Follow okay. Ket. You guys follow Ket. It is very early in the morning, so the only people that are really out are people that are either heading to work or who have jobs that start very early in the morning. So you essentially see from the direction that you're going, kind of a perpendicular wave of fishermen heading towards the docks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, that's a positive sign.
Why is that?
Nothing's disturbing the usual daily flow.
Okay.
And, you know, since we're running perpendicular to them, we're not going to run into too many of them.
All right. And maybe the people looking for Scar are sleeping.
That's a 50-50.
Hmm. Well, that is possible. They're either about to go to sleep, or actually, they're probably about to go to sleep. You know, those types.
Nocturnal, evil people.
Yes. So, you guys walk through Coldport. Hey, it's Coldport. It's a city full of buildings, and the streets are not clean, at least not here. It seems to have a slight problem in that there seem to be random people just kind of laying in the streets, but those of you that have been to major cities, that does seem to be a problem.
Everybody's talking at me. I can't hear a word they're saying.
Hey, we don't need to have to pay the rights.
Oh, sorry.
So
that was 7 seconds.
You guys walk for a while, and eventually I'm guessing you're heading towards the Plague District.
Yeah.
Towards Twins.
Yeah, that's the last place we have any information, so.
Okay. You find it.
All right. I assume it's still shut down.
It is still shut down. Although the patrols around it seem to have relaxed.
Ket, is there any indication of how long we've been gone?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Well, the Queen's rebellious daughter said that we weren't going to experience any kind of time problems. So hopefully it's been as long as it's been for us.
So a week and a half or so? Was it?
Thereabouts.
A little more, wasn't okay. It?
A couple weeks, well, maybe?
Yeah, maybe 2 weeks.
Time doesn't really move the same way.
Okay.
It doesn't look like there's anything changed. Season didn't change, so that's either that's positive or a few years in the future.
Yes.
Or we have Randis with us, so a few years in the past is also possible.
Mm.
Always darkest before it gets completely pitch black.
So do we have to go in the same way we did before?
No, I can probably find us another way in.
All right.
See if there's anything that's particularly unguarded.
Okay, give me a streetwise check.
Woo! I never get to use streetwise.
I know. That's why I keep sending you to cities this season. so we can watch you fail a streetwise check.
You were saying?
All right,
it's a 34.
All right.
Name's Rob.
Yeah. Go ahead and inflate it. Ket finds you another way in. It is thoroughly unguarded.
Nice.
You are now inside the Twins District. It doesn't look any better than it did last time you were here.
That's probably a positive.
Yes. That too.
Head towards... No, I've got my priorities. Head towards the bar.
Okay. You find your old bar.
Whose name escapes me right now.
Cauldron?
Scale Cauldron. Right. Thank you.
Sure.
Head towards the Scale Cauldron. Is it open?
It does not appear to be open.
But it shouldn't be open because it's super early in the morning.
Yeah. Also, you guys weren't really keeping regular hours anyway, because it's not it was basically running as like a stock house rather than, and like maybe slight hospital when Lek was around, rather than necessarily a bar.
Fair. Head inside.
Okay. You guys go in. Walk in through the front door, and it appears to be empty. At least the main bar area appears to be empty.
Does it appear to be kept or ransacked?
It doesn't look to be ransacked, but it also doesn't look like... it doesn't look like it was packed up either, but in the event of packing up, there's nothing down here in the main bar that would have been taken. It's, you know, just stools, a bar, and booze. So other than maybe grabbing a couple bottles, there's really nothing from down here that they take.
Yeah. All right. Head upstairs.
Okay, so Ket starts to head upstairs, and we'll say Little Sparkle feels something cold around her ankle, and before she can really react, she's hoisted up into the air by some kind of strange, murky, ropey looking thing.
Oh.
Ack! Is it something I can attack?
So, yes, as this thing pulls her up, it kind of, if you follow this, like, strange, inky, blue-black tentacle, it begins to materialize something that is kind of like this blob that has more of these strange tentacles. It appears to be kind of this black-blue hole, essentially. Through it, you can see what appears to be a star field, and moves to get Little Sparkle into it. And we'll call this a skill challenge.
Oh. A skill challenge.
Sounds incredibly unpleasant.
Yay. A skill challenge. Yes. Oh, you get
mm-hmm. What level are you guys?
17.
17.
Okay.
What they said.
That is. Okay. That is the number I thought. Let's see. Let's move that over there. And let's, since she's having the problems, let's make Little Sparkle be the thing. Okay. So everybody can roll me some initiative.
El reto de habilidad. Oh, crap.
Yes.
Nice roll, Steven.
Little Sparkle.
34. Yeah, oh, sorry, 35. I put in my level as opposed to my initiative. So, sorry, 33. It's one less.
So, 33?
Yes, please.
Okay. Cat?
15.
Sakaar?
17.
Okay. Randus?
20.
And Orym.
19.
We were all taken off guard by whatever this is.
I guess so.
Except for Little Sparkle. Because who's like, it's got my ankle.
Yep. This is about average reaction speed for Ket.
Also, you're faster than heck.
All right. So, this is a skill challenge. The object of the skill challenge or the success condition is to not get whatever this thing wants to do to you'd. And yeah, maybe even fighter it or kill it or something, but mostly just not get killed by it. We'll start there. We'll set the bar there and see how you guys do.
Don't die.
Yep,
maybe win.
So we'll start with Little Sparkle.
So Little Sparkle is surprised by this, but still manages to react a little bit faster than the rest of her party, and will basically, you know, treat this the same way she would treat, say, trying to squirm her way out of ropes if she was tied up, and just try to like wiggle her foot and grab onto it a little bit and make a thievery check to pull herself out.
Cool, because she has an ability that lets her use thievery for that.
Would that be acrobatics normally?
I think normally it is acrobatics, yeah.
Oh, it's almost the same roll for me, so I'll use that instead.
Okay.
It is, in fact, the exact same roll, so I'll
well, there you go.
By me. So I have a 41.
All right, 41 is a success. A Little Sparkle. Basically, by the time anyone else reacts, it's possible that the first thing that Ket actually sees is Little Sparkle drop back onto the ground, and then he looks over and sees this space blob coming at you guys. So it's Ket's turn.
It's Ket's turn?
No, it's not. I forgot to do the thing.
Randus' turn.
Yes. Like that's what I meant.
As per usual.
So yes, it is Randus' turn.
Okay. I think I'm going to try to shoot at it with like a flare bolt to try to kind of dazzle or see if we can't dissipate it using Arcana.
Okay, we'll say that you... Sure, go for it.
All right. Oh, and that one.
Oh,
carp. Use an action point.
Okay.
Let's try that again. Better. 19 on the die for 40.
Nice.
Nice.
What was that? What did you roll?
It was a nat 1 effort.
No, but what was the power they used?
Arcana.
Arcana. Fingers.
Oh. Sorry.
So, yes. Randus shoots a flare at it. And this thing is not really so much dazzled by it as preoccupied with grabbing it and throwing it into its inky voidness.
Works
so
for me.
It is briefly distracted.
Yay.
By a flare, like a T-Rex.
Now run.
Orym.
Seeing this, I'm going to use acrobatics to jump out of the way so it doesn't try to grab me.
Okay.
25.
25 does not succeed.
Boo.
Okay. Well, after being dazzled, or I guess distracted briefly, apparently only a few of its tentacles are distracted. Orym finds inky tentacle around his waist, and it hoists him up and begins to move him into the darkness.
No! Quick, somebody stab at the darkness.
Yes. And it is to Sakaar.
I have waited 5 years to say this, ladies and gentlemen. I attack the darkness.
Okay.
Sakaar, who is still, by the way, a lovely young barmaid, draws her swords. Does the hat do anything in terms of if you just go whoomp and you're a different person and you pull out a sword and now you have a sword?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, technically, okay. The hat can change your equipment, but I'm not necessarily. I'm prepared to say that it allows you to hide a sword, but not necessarily that it turns a sword into a feather duster. But you can have the sword look however you want.
It looks like my sword.
Okay.
It looks specifically like the Farblade Spellbondy scimitar that I can hurl with brutal accuracy at the tentacles that are holding Orym, using my athletics and my massive upper arms, which you can't see right now because barmaid. So, athletics to kind of use my sword to cut through the tentacles and get Orym free.
Go for it.
37.
37 is a success.
Excellent.
So, basically, Sakaar throws a scimitar at it, which flies with deadly accuracy and just completely goes harmlessly through the tentacle. This thing does not appear to be entirely substantial, but it does allow Orym to basically grab onto the scimitar as it's flying by and pull himself free. So it does manage to free Orym, who is basically kind of up a few feet up the wall with a scimitar dug into the wall and basically hanging from it. Which takes us to Ket.
I'm going to use Arcana to try and blast this thing out of existence.
Okay.
Another possible use of Arcana would be figuring out what this thing is.
That's what I was going to do.
Good job, boys.
Yeah, no, Ket doesn't care what this thing is. It's in his box.
Laugh.
It doesn't belong here.
All right, well, that is a success.
With 37.
Yes. Ket blasts it. And the blast appears to go through it and into the inky blackness, but also there's like some sort of, I don't know, magical membrane that the blast goes through, and the blast at least alters it in some way, and this thing starts to change. It definitely gives you a momentary rest as it kind of coalesces, but then basically surges back as kind of something else. Now it's kind of still a floating thing, but now it's kind of like a weird broom and by broom I mean brume, like a cloud, full of we'll say fangly mouths.
Ugh.
Because what's more terrifying?
Because Slappy faces. All right. And that puts us to Little Sparkle again.
Little Sparkle is going to try to taunt it, basically darting around it, like leaning in slightly and then running away because, you know, she's hoping that she's a little bit more nimble on her feet than some of the other members of the party, and an attempt to make a bluff check to get its attention.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Is not going to do it.
Do it again.
Well, you can save your ability. I've got my own bluff reroll, so I'll try that first.
Mine's an encounter power, so.
Mine is also an encounter power. And then yours can be used if someone else bluffs again. So yeah, I'll try that. Did that work? I seem to have lost somehow my window
that
shows my dice rolls. Huh?
I can see it. Looks like a 38.
All right. Does that succeed?
That does succeed.
Yay.
This thing becomes suddenly very preoccupied with eating Little Sparkle, which lets you guys maybe do something else. It's Randus's turn.
That would be a good something else.
Scare it.
Yes, I am very intimidating.
Like the Arcana check to identify it.
I did that last time.
Yep, he locked himself out of that.
Yep.
Do you have any energy type attacks with a tag that would be like certain types of energy, like
I'm sure he has plenty of those, but those would almost certainly be key to Arcana. He locked himself out of.
Randus plus attacks equals Arcana.
Yes,
lightning,
Arcana.
Punch it with your lightning fist,
Arcana.
Shut up.
I don't know, perception or dungeoneering to figure out if this was triggered by some kind of trap.
Maybe. What is?
How's your nature?
Nature.
I don't think this is natural at all.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Which means he might actually be able to identify it because I think aberrations fall under nature.
I thought aberrations were dungeoneering.
Are they?
Yeah. Dungeoneering. I don't think identifies monsters at all anymore. It's all like arcana, nature, and religion.
I could roll religion and see if it's something divine or infernal.
I'd let you do that.
Okay.
It's ungodly.
Yes.
Yeah. Roll religion to pray that we don't die.
Maybe that too. It's tossed in there. 34?
34? That's a success.
Yeah.
Aberrant is dungeoneering.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, this is some kind of
thing.
So basically, Randus thinks about not necessarily his immediate body of knowledge, but some of the knowledge he's acquired in his adventures, like in the Astral Sea. And I mean, when he was researching void monstrosities, he definitely came across. Now, this isn't a void creature, but. When he was researching summoning and banishing rituals, something like this definitely came up. This is some kind of strange, like, spawn from one of the gods that are not really around anymore. Randus doesn't recall exactly what, but, you know, he kind of understands some of its properties now. For example, that probably attacking it directly with energy really doesn't help other than, you know, temporarily. Randus can convey this to the others.
Yes. I convey that information as best I can.
Okay.
Is it a magical creature?
Divine?
Okay.
Infernal, yeah.
Yep. Yes, okay. That's sure. Well, let us sparkle by you sometime so you guys can huddle real quick. But it's Orem's turn.
Well, I know I want to use Arcana, but what shall I do? Try to dispel it? Try to harm it?
Contain it.
I will try to do a containment spell.
Ooh.
With my Arcana. Exciting. Ooh. 39.
Okay. Nice.
39 is pretty good.
Almost a critical hit for my character.
Only with a sword.
Yes.
You think Orm can't contain things with a sword?
I suppose that's true. So, basically, Orm creates this kind of glowing matrix around it, which begins to constrict it, and seems to be working pretty well, except, you know, the matrix is not completely, I don't know, airtight, magic tight, I don't know. Either way, there's a couple of tentacles that manage to wiggle their way out as it's being constricted. And who's up next? We'll say they grab Sakaar for maximum
drama.
Well, this is untoward and less than ideal. So it is. He has it in a magical thingama,
like a waste paper basket.
A magical waste paper basket.
Yes.
And he did that with his arcane knowledge.
That's correct.
But what he doesn't have is my knowledge of the primal and the nature of the nature of this nature. So I'm going to use Sakaar's primal abilities to reinforce Orm's waste paper basket with maybe a little bit of, you know, mud or whatever would be appropriately naturally primal, calling upon the spirits that I can find in the area and such, and magical framistattery to be described later.
So Sakaar's trying to
put a little
call upon some spirits to reinforce the magical waste paper basket.
Yes, perhaps with a magical lid or some flaming spitballs.
Yeah, flaming spitballs.
Something appropriate. Probably flaming spitballs. That would be appropriate.
Or some kind of other primal wastebasket turned upside down and put on top.
Right.
A second whisker basket.
Wicker basket. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's more natural.
Yeah. That sounds great, you guys. Why don't you go ahead and roll nature there, Sakaar?
31.
And 31's a success.
Oh, it is? Oh, I thought that was a failure. Hooray!
I think
we've been rolling bad, we've been rolling really bad in this one.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. I want you to forget that thing that I said about the waste paper basket, okay? Orm probably created some sort of matrices of glowing blue Orm.
Matrices seem very Orm.
Yeah, something Orm-y.
Yes.
Something that has like very sharp edges and is very distinct and clearly magical. And the thing was sticking out its little tentacles. And that's when Sakaar used his kind of greeny red all at the same time energy, because I have trouble telling which is which and it's all fine. And to sort of reinforce it. And this is like less hard edged energy. This is all gorpy and floopy and natural and kind of organic. And it fills in the breaks in this matrix to turn it into an actual, or to reinforce it, because clearly Orm didn't do nothing. I don't want us to be that guy. Right. Working together, the primal and the arcane and the big blue rubber head and the guy with the no beard, magics come together and something dark side.
It's so beautiful.
Works for me. You guys, so yeah, this thing hoists Sakaar up, who calls upon the Powers Primal to basically create another mesh that plugs in the holes, essentially. So you guys have essentially, I will say, actually a think of a cylinder. Mm-hmm. And make one of the circles slightly larger than the other, maybe not quite, like, we'll say a third again as large. So it does, in fact, kind of look like an upturned waste paper basket. It is glowing and alternating between a very bright blue color and some kind of more gradient-y red to green, which I find fascinating that Matthew can't even see in his own head.
It's fine. We're good.
That's.
They look different. It's fine. Did we victory?
You did victory.
Yay, us!
Yay!
Go team something.
So that was weird.
Yes. Walk over to it. What is it?
Some sort of primal god being?
Any idea what this is doing in your bar, Kat?
No. Finish heading upstairs to see if anybody's there.
Like, we're just going to leave this here?
Watch that thing. I want to check, make sure if anybody's here.
Okay.
I'll
dart around the first floor just to make sure there's not more of these hiding in a shadow somewhere, you know, checking ceilings and corners and such.
Careful.
Right. Kid goes upstairs. The place is deserted. Little Sparkle darts around and she finds some kind of glowing silvery dust around.
Aurum, Randis, when do you want to check this out?
Okay.
Sakaar, see if you can get any information from this thing. We go downstairs.
I'll see if it even...
I mean, she's in the same floor as you guys.
Oh, okay.
She's just darting around the larger bar in area.
You guys were all on the first floor. Kat went upstairs to check.
Okay. I thought we were kind of in between floors.
You were up on the wall on a scimitar.
Stairs.
So we examine this silvery dust stuff. What is it?
It's pretty obvious to you guys. It's probably the like residual stuff from a summoning.
Something's been summoned. Quite possibly that thing.
Yeah, I think that'd be the most likely target.
Perhaps a booby trap.
Can I...
Kat, are either of your siblings summoners? Did one of them maybe, like, put this here to guard the place?
No. Grandma might be back. I don't know if she summons or not. She's so many... powers at this point.
Well, it's clearly a trap of some sort.
Did you ask me something, Brian?
I was just going to ask, is there anything I could tell by the craftsmanship? Anything I can tell about the person who would have done that?
You can tell one thing pretty obviously is like this would have been, it's like, as Randus has started to understand, magic tends to overlap in certain areas. But basically, some things are easier to do for divine magic, some things are easier to do for primal magic and arcane magic as well. So basically, somebody summoning this thing through arcane means, which is what seems to have happened, is a feat. It's... you know, something that maybe a high-end cleric would be able to do regularly, but something that a wizard or warlock type would have to be really good at things and also really know what this thing is, which is in and of itself a rarity. Since this is pretty obscure, I mean, Randa's like was literally in the place that this thing comes from, researching monsters like this, and that's why he knew it. and he doesn't even recall all the details.
Yeah, we'd have to be dealing with some a very specialized form of practitioner here.
Can we unsummon it?
Can look into that.
Summon from the Astral Sea?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's from the Astral Sea? Guy.
Yeah.
What?
Do you know what this creature is?
It looks like an upturned waste paper basket.
You didn't see us fight it, did you?
No, I was hiding.
That makes sense.
Can you describe it to me?
Yeah. Tentacles, had a body that was kind of not a body. Like, it was like a void.
And it's substantial.
What color was it? What color was it?
Black and made of stars?
Shadowy.
Black. Yeah. It was black, shadowy, looked like it had some star field.
Well. Oh, by the way, you guys, the rest of you don't understand what Guy is saying.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. No, it's fine. I mean, when Ket starts describing it, you guys can just start shouting things out anyway, because you can figure it out from context. But Guy operates strictly on the Star Wars alien school of communication.
Oh, so he speaks Bocce.
Yeah, basically, if he speaks...
Or binary.
You talk to him and he understands it.
Let the devil win.
Yeah, he understands basic. You talk to him and he responds in Shri Woke or whatever.
He sounds like
an I know. Yep, exactly like that.
It hurts his mouth to speak abysmal.
Yep. So, Guy starts thinking about it. He says, well, it sounds like one of the spawn of the old gods. Before there were angels and devils, the gods tried to align themselves with other forces that were less stable than good and evil. So... some of these creatures were the result. I'm sure there's some around that weren't capped or banished or whatever. Probably still living in some pocket of the Astral Sea, I would imagine. Very close to the Far Brights or farther. At which point the door swings open. And a person walks through. She is an Eladrin, has long blonde hair, is wearing, she has green eyes, is wearing some long, comfortable gray robes, and carries a comfortable looking gray robes at least, and is carrying a staff. And she walks in. She says, that's a pretty good guess, which is only really impactful for Ket and Guy, because mostly you guys just heard, and then she opens the door and says, that's a pretty good guess.
Is my grandma?
Yep.
Yeah. Ket'll cheer grandma and run over and hug her.
She does
most of a decade since last seen her.
Yep. She does that thing where she like kind of gently pats the back of his head. Like, that's good to see you too, grandson. I see you made a mess of my sentry.
Sorry, he attacked one of my compatriots.
Well, that is what it's supposed to do.
I figured with the use of sentry. I guess introductions are in order.
Oh, please.
Well, this is Little Sparkle, the one he attacked. Randus Duthane.
Hi.
Sakaar.
Avada Sokichi, Lord Baron in absentia of Oblia.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah. And Orym Ruindorn. I take off my hat, my sunglasses, madam, and give her a bow.
This is my grandmother, Dorisala Peacetree.
It's a pleasure. And glad to see you're all safe, even if it's probably going to cost me that much more to put up another one of these. Ket, you're looking fine.
Thank you.
I see that you finally got it through your head that the only proper implement is a staff.
It took some weird turns to get there.
Yes, well, smart people eventually arrive at the right answer.
Thank you. Do you know how Charlotte and Emil are?
They're fine.
All right.
I'm moving them.
What happened?
Well, it seems you ran afoul of some large organization. So, when I made my way here, they were hiding from them. So, now I'm going to put them somewhere else.
All right.
Incidentally, that organization doesn't seem to be in Coldport anymore, but better safe than sorry.
Do you know how they left or when they left?
I don't know how they left, but they left maybe a week ago.
Hmm. Do you know if they took anyone with them?
No.
Okay.
Like hear, what?
Professor Leck. I don't know if you met him before you left.
No, that doesn't ring a bell.
He's kind of why we got in this mess.
Do you know at all what they were doing for the past week before they left?
No.
I wonder, Ket, if you went down to the police station, if you would be able to find information out there.
That's probably our next stop.
Okay. Well, speaking of stopping, why don't we stop here this week? Mm-hmm. Hope you enjoyed that. Nice reveal there. And we'll be back next week with more, or next time, I should say, with more adventures of our merry party. And until then, keep circulating the tapes. Sign up to become a VIP member at members.majorspoilers.com. It supports what we do and shows us that you want more. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Major Spoilers Podcast, copyright 2009. Major Spoilers Podcast, copyright 2010.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2011. Major Spoilers is copyright 2012. Major Spoilers is copyright 2013. Major Spoilers is copyright 2014. This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC. This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pair.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.